Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Southern Church Congregation. Now I'm down at the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is November the 16th, 24, or the 15th day of Sisley, 2028. We're going to do our first service today, taken from the plan of the salvation. Is through the new and living way, Hebrews 10:20-21, and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua for our salvation with the daily and the atonement. Part one. This is written January 3rd, 2003, and that date is September 23rd, 2020. 17 years later, it was that date. Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of the Yahshua unto another gospel. Now, I'm going to change this word gospel to what it really means. It means faith in the blood of the Yahshua of the everlasting covenant. They condensed all those words down into one two words, God, G-O-D, spelled it out, S-P-E-L-L-E-D, in the law of the Moses. And they call it simply gospel. And when you read that word gospel, you don't really know what the heck they're talking about. But when you read faith in the blood of the everlasting kingdom of the Yahshua, New and Living Way, Hebrews 10:19-20, then you know what it's talking about. So, verse 7 of Galatians 1, which is not another, that there be some that trouble you. I would pervert the teaching of the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua as a new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, of the Yahshua. Verse 8. But though we are an angel from the heaven preaching the other gospel or the plan of salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant or through faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant. Your key word in all of this is the word faith. That which we have preached unto you before, let him be accursed. In every age, there is a new development of the truth, a message of the Yahweh unto the people of that generation. For the old truths are all essential. New truth is not independent of the old, but an unfolding of it. It is only as the old truth are understood that we can comprehend the new. Yahshua's object lesson, page 129. For every prophetic type, there has to be an antitype. Isaiah 20. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according unto this word, it is because there is no light in them. Question. How important and accurate was the sanctuary system in the clarification of the Daniel 8:14 and 18:44? Did the investigation prove the likeness of both sanctuaries? Answer. The subject of the sanctuary was the key which unlocked the mystery of the disappointment of the 1844, for it opened unto the view a complete system of the truth. Great Controversy, 423.1. In their investigation, they learned that there is no scripture evidence sustaining the popular view that the earth is a sanctuary. But they found in the Bible a full explanation of the subject of the sanctuary, its nature, location, and services. Great Controversy, 411. Brother Stephen Johnson's tract at Gilead Center, our pastor from 1970 to 2003, from Kermit, Texas, he wrote that in his tract, Lawbreaker. And he wrote about the ordained system of true worship, the two dailies, at the third hour of the day and the ninth hour of the day. Brother Johnson told the Adventists they had to keep that for salvation, and that he was keeping it, and then Brother Johnson ended up retracting that and saying we didn't have to keep it after all. And now we got that same spirit going on right now in the kingdom, where people don't have no respect for keeping the daily at the appointed time, because the prophet that wrote it and brought it forward apostatized on it. So it had a great influence on people after that. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his head, or his heel. Daniel 8:13-26. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint, respect, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily? And I'm going to take that word sacrifice, I'm going to delete that, but I'm going to read it here because this is what's here. Concerning the daily sacrifice. Why they put sacrifice in there if that word didn't belong there? Why was it put in there? Well, you got people coming along, even prophets today, Ellen G. White sent it, and V.T. Hollis sent it. The prophet that followed Ellen G. White with the rod, he said it, that the word sacrifice didn't belong there. But the translators that put it in there said it belonged there, because they think they had information from the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the ones today that said it didn't belong there, they sure didn't take their information from the Dead Sea Scrolls like the translators did in 1603, that wrote the King James Bible. So you see how tricky this thing is. What happens when you take the word sacrifice out? Then you make it clear that the daily that is done in heaven by Yahshua every morning at the third hour, he is a high priest offering his sprinkling of the blood for the sinners that meet with him at the third hour in the morning after the rising of the sun and confess their sins. He's there at that hour to receive their sins and apply his sprinkled blood to their offering, to their sin, to their prayers, I mean. So that's how important the daily is. And so when the translators applied the word sacrifice, they did it in italics. Because, as they said, really the word sacrifice was taken away from the word daily after the cross. Before the cross, the word sacrifice is in there because Moses wrote it in the original Law of Moses in 1500 B.C. coming out of Egypt with Israel. In 1500 B.C., Moses wrote the Bible, what they call the Torah, in the wilderness the next 40 years. And he put the word sacrifice in there. And it belongs because it belongs. Well, I say the word sacrifice still belongs in the New Testament, but it must be explained. The word sacrifice by Moses meant the animal sacrifice that had to be done at those two daily hours. Whereas in the New Testament, the word sacrifice should have remained there, but it's Yahshua that performs his vows at the third and the ninth hour in the heavenly sanctuary because of his blood of sprinkling. And any time you have an offering of an animal, you have the blood of sprinkling. Well, in the New Testament, when you have an offering made by the blood of sprinkling, which is only Yahshua's blood, then it just says that his blood took the place of the animal's blood of the Old Testament. Yahshua's blood of the New Testament. So the word sacrifice belongs there both in the Old and the New Testament. But you have to understand, in the Old Testament it stood for the animal sacrifice. In the New Testament it stands for Yahshua, the sacrifice. By the New and Living Way, Hebrews 12:18-24, explains that letter strengthened by the new and living way of the Yahshua on a daily basis for daily remissions of sins. That's been done at the third hour and the ninth hour. Daniel 8:13-26. Then I heard one saint speaking. Another saint said unto that saint, which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of the desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot, and the vision of the evening and the morning that was told is true, wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for the many days. Okay. Alright. It says, for this vision of the prophet Daniel about the daily taken out of the way, and the host being trodden underfoot, tells us that somewhere in the time someone is going to accomplish this for a period of time. And that period of time was 1260 years from 538 A.D. to 1798. And the one that did that was the Pope, starting with Constantine in 325 B.C. I mean A.D. Constantine, 325 A.D. Since it says for many days, meaning it is only to be for a period of time. And that period of time, as I said, was 1260 years. Before it is to be restored. Okay. So the daily was taken out of the way of the new and living way in Hebrews 12:18-24. And it was taken out of the way. And how long was it taken out of the way? It was taken out of the way until 1970. The Pope took it out of the way for 1260 years from 538 A.D. to 1798. But now remember that the Pope in 1793 died, and in 1798 they had a new Pope. So Constantine was considered the first Pope, and so therefore he's the one that started the taking away of the daily. Okay, in 325 A.D. But at the time that it was restored, in prophecy, it was restored by Brother Stevie Johnson in 1970. And that's what the prophecy says here. It says, let's read that again. This vision of the prophet Daniel about the daily taken out of the way, and the host, that is the members of the church, being trodden under the foot. So it says the law of the daily and those that are performing their vows with it, which would be present tense, was taken out of their way. Tells us that somewhere in the time, someone started with Pope Constantine in 325 A.D., is going to accomplish this for a period of time. So, Constantine did not accomplish taking away the day. So he started the idea. So it shows that the daily then went into operation at the very moment that Yahshua rose from the cross. That's when the daily of the new and living way began, of Hebrews 10:19-20. That's when that began. One moment after Yahshua resurrected from the cross. And then it was restored in 1970. Yahshua instituted his apostles after he resurrected. It was taken out of the way in 538 A.D. by the Pope at that time. And it was restored by Brother Stevie Johnson in 1970. And since Brother Johnson apostatized from it after he restored it, showed that he was not a true prophet to be in charge of the kingdom, but only by inheriting a birthright was the prophet 1970 of the angel of the later sin church, Adventist, of the candlestick, the seventh candlestick, which Rose Johnson was given that position as antithetical to Esau. So he was not a true lineage of the seed of Abraham, but he was of the seed of Laban. His mother's Abraham was the seed, was the true inheritors of the birthright, but they were born second. The inheritors of the birthright ever since Abraham, Ishmael was the firstborn of the flesh, an Arab Hebrew. He was mixed with Egyptian blood, and he was mixed with Abraham's blood. He was the firstborn, but of the flesh, and Yahweh couldn't use him to be a progenitor of Abraham and the righteous line, because Ishmael he wasn't born righteous. And he didn't die righteous. He was just totally carnal and other flesh. So then Isaac was the second born of Abraham of the Spirit. And so he's the one that inherited the birthright to be the progenitor that brought forth Esau and Jacob. And then Jacob, the second born of Isaac, ended up being the progenitor of the righteous line, starting with the 144,000. Now I'm going to read this again, what I just read. For this vision of the prophet Daniel about the daily, taken out of the way, and the people of the members of the church, which is called the host, being trodden under the foot, tells us that somewhere in the time someone is going to accomplish this for a period of the time. Since it says for the many days, means in it is only to be for a period of the time before it is to be restored. Well, we know that it was trampled underfoot by the Pope of 538-98, that began the 1260-year prophetic period of the Dark Ages that was run and controlled, which they called the Inquisition of the Catholic Church, that ruled over all the then known world with the church and state, civil and political and religious. The civil is your political and your religious, as is what we said, mixing the Bible with the Constitution of the country. It says, for it shall be for the many days. And remember now that the Bible also has a constitution. That's the law of Moses. And the country we live in today, the USA, has a constitution, which is the law of man. One's carnal, the other one's spiritual. The law of Moses is spiritual. The law of man, the constitution, is carnal. It's special. It's incomplete. Never will be complete. Can't be. It has to be made complete by Yahweh, not man. Okay, for it shall be for the many days, many, meaning there is a set time for its restoration. Okay, there you go. There is a set time for its restoration, and we have the prophetic evidence that Brother Johnson restored the deity in 1970 by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that was given to him by Yahweh the Father in heaven here on earth. At the time of the end is your 12th periodic hour, Brother Johnson had the last 11th periodic hour, which is 1 hour before sundown, or the 12th hour. So Brother Johnson had the time of the beginning of the end. And so the time of the beginning of the end was No, Brother Johnson didn't have, he had the time of the beginning of the 11th parabolic hour, 1 hour before sundown, and the hour of sundown is the 12th hour. Okay. At the time of the end. But Brother Johnson, meaning there is a set time for its restoration. And this restoration has to take place in the probationary time, so then it would have to take place in the last prophetic hour, which is the 12th hour, starting with the beginning of that hour. And when the probation closes, it means a full restoration has completely taken place of the spiritual kingdom that is talked about in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 to 24. Okay, the divine institution is restored along with all of the sacred institutions. There you have it. And Brother Johnson did that very thing. He was given the commission to restore Yahweh's complete government with the creation calendar of all the laws of Moses, of the monthly, the yearly, the daily, the weekly, the seventh day Sabbath, and record that all in Leviticus 23, 1 through 44. That's for the complete institution of the sanctuary with the day is recorded at the time of the end. Now that we are in the time of the end, then it is time for the every heavenly institution to be restored for the perfection and saving of the saints. For the observance of the daily is our preparation for the judging on the day of the atonement once a year, with the Israelite congregation that came up on the day of the Day of Atonement. To be sure that their records were clean, or if they were tainted with any unforgiven sin, the daily is a preparation for the observance of all of the feasts of the Leviticus 23, 1 through 44. And starting with the seventh day Sabbath, and then going to the Passover Sabbath, and then going to Pentecostal Sabbath that comes once a year, and going to the new moons that come 12 new moons in a year, and then going to the Atonement that comes once a year, and the Feast of Tabernacles that comes once a year, with the first and the last day of that week holy, and with the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the spring, which is the Passover day, with the first and the last day of that Feast of Tabernacles is a holy day. So you have 70 in all in 1 year of the holy days. And that is a sixth annual feast. That is your 12th new moon Sabbath, and that's the end of 52 seventh day Sabbaths in 1 year, coming to 70 Sabbaths altogether. Okay. Observance of the daily is our preparation for the judgment on the day of the atonement. Once a year, the Israelite congregation came up to the Day of the Atonement to be sure that their records were clean, or if they were tainted with any unforgiven sins, the daily is a preparation for the observance of all the feasts of the Leviticus 23. Daniel 11:31, an arms shall stand on his part. What does it mean, an arms? It means a military tribunal. People that's got guns, literally got guns, are going to stand on his part. And this applies, I think, to the Pope, even. And they shall pollute the sanctuary of the strength. Yeah, so this would be the Imperial Rome with their army enforcing this here, shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of the strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice. So in the New Testament, that daily sacrifice would be Yahshua himself. And then who sit up in the place of Yahshua when they took away the daily sacrifice? The Pope with the Eucharist. Who are they that shall place the abomination that maketh desolate? who has copied the true sanctuary service of the Yahshua and corrupted it? Answer, the Catholic Church. Well, this happened in our day with our own prophet today, Willis W. Johnson. This applies to him too. Catholic Church was the first one to do it in 538 A.D. to 1798, 1260 years. But who was the second one to do it? Willis Johnson, the true prophet in Israel of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and of the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist Church that he was the last head of as a prophet. So who are they that shall place this abomination that make it desolate? Okay. Who has copied the true sanctuary service of the Yahshua and corrupted it? But Willis Johnson copied this true service of the sanctuary service in 1970 and restored it and wrote a tract to the Adventist Church and telling them they had to do the same thing and keep the daily and perform their vows and join him and come into unity on this. And then Willis Johnson ended up apostatizing from the whole thing that he wrote in 70, 2002, 2003. Willis Johnson had completely apostatized, and all the members of the church except me and Catherine ended up staying with the truth. Even Alan D. Long, that was with me for 12 years after we left Willis. Alan came with me, but then he apostatized. And he went after the same thing that and did the same thing Brother Johnson did, that brought the kingdom Brother Johnson brought his kingdom to a close by him apostatizing here on the daily in the sanctuary city that he had restored. Well, what brought the Catholic Church to a close? They took away the daily, trampled down the fair. And their final end came 1260 years later. Completely abolished off the face of the earth. So it says, so who are they that shall place the abomination that maketh desolate? Who has copied the true sanctuary service of the Yahshua and corrupted it? Answer, the Catholic Church was the first to do this in about 38 A.D. And Brother Johnson, the angel of the seven candlestick of the Adventist Church, he was the last one to do it in 2003. He copied it in 1970, published it as a truth, and then he trampled it underfoot in 2003 and brought his church to earth. An abrupt halt in one day, and then every member that went along with Brother Johnson in apostatizing, the main leaders are dead today, including his son and daughter-in-law, Brother Johnson. They're both dead today. They died 20 years after. So it says that, who are they that shall place the abomination that maketh desolate? Who has copied the true sanctuary service of the Yahshua and corrupted it? Okay. Answer, the Catholic Church. Well, they practice a daily worship called the Mass, which the people attend on a daily basis and on Sunday when the priest administers their wafer to the people. He tells them it literally becomes the body of the Christ when they eat it. Yet when you study the scriptures, you find that it is not what it teaches. Yes, the unleavened bread eaten at the Passover time is a symbol of the Yahshua's body, but it does not become his body when eaten. Luke 22:19-20. And he took bread, and gave thanks, and broke it, and gave unto them, saying, This is a representative of my body, which is given for you. This do in the remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. You does not refer to us today. It referred to the disciples. Well, I got news for you. In the antitype, in the present tense, it refers to us today, the kingdom of heaven and hell on earth today. As it's established by Elijah Digger, it applies to us as well. Webster, a dictionary, on the word testament, F.R. Testare, to be a witness, to make one's last will, akin to testis, a witness, law, a solemn, authentic instrument, and the writing by which a person declares his will as to this disposal of his estate and effects after his death and hand. That is otherwise called a will and sometimes a last will. And testament. A testament to be valid must be made by a person of the second mind, and it must be executed and published in the due form of the law. Let us continue now. We're still on page 2, actually, and we're at the Luke 22:19-20. And he took bread and gave thanks. Let's do a little review.
Okay, that's right.
Who are they that shall place the abomination that maketh desolate? Who has copied the true sanctuary service of the Yahshua and corrupted it? Answer the Catholic Church, for they practice a daily worship called the Mass, which the people attend on a daily basis, and on Sunday, when the priest administers the wafer to the people, he tells them it literally becomes the body of Christ when they eat it. Yet when you study the scriptures, you find that it is not what it teaches. Yes, the unleavened bread eaten at the Passover time is a symbol of the Christ body, but it does not become his body when eaten. Luke 22:19-20. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it, and gave unto them, saying, this is representative of my body, which is given for you. This do in the remembrance of me. And likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. There, right there is a new and living way of Hebrews 10:19-20. You does not refer to us today. It referred to the disciples. Well, I want to change that. The you refers to us today as being contemporary with it referring to the disciples at the cross. For the Webster's Dictionary on the word testament, FRL, testamentum, FR, testare, to be a witness to make one last will, akin to testis, a witness, law, a solemn, authentic instrument in writing by which a person declares his will as to the disposal of his estate and effects after his death and hand. This is otherwise called a will and sometimes a last will and testament. A testament to be valid must be made by a person of a sound mind, and it must be executed and published in the due form of the law. A man is certain, in certain cases, may make a valid will by the word of his mouth only. One of the two destined revelations of the Yahshua's purposes toward man is a covenant also, one of the two general divisions of the canonical books of the sacred scriptures, in which the covenants are respectively revealed as the Old Testament and the New Testament, often limited in the colloquial language. And the colloquial language is the ancient speaking of the English language to the letter.
The latter.
The Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, is the mediator of the New Testament for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, Hebrews 9:15. So Yahshua's death on the cross is what redeemed the testaments of the Old Testament before the cross, and he redeemed them by his blood. And his blood was the testament that redeemed them. Hebrews 9:24. For the Asher has not entered into the holy places made with the hands, which are the figures of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of the Yahweh for us. For the Asher, son of the Yahweh, took bread, and after he had blessed it, gave unto his disciples, telling them, represents his body. He did not say it turned into his body every time they would eat it. He also told them the wine, grape, juice represented the New Testament and his blood. This is a key point we want to understand. The New Testament and his blood is the new and living way. In the Old Testament time, the animal sacrificed with the slaying of the lamb pointed forward unto the Yahshua, death on the cross,
coming
in the future for the bringing an end of that system of the worship and set up in its place the sprinkling of the fresh blood of the Yahshua, as pointed out in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 to 24, in the heavenly sanctuary on a daily basis for the sins of the people under or with the New Testament dispersion. Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of the partition between us. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, that is two, one new man, so making peace. Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary unto us, and took it out of the way, nailing it unto his cross. Verse 15. And having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Verse 16. Let no man therefore you judge you in their meat, or in the drink, or in the respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day. Verse 17, which are a shadow of the things to come, but not the body.
But the body.
But the body is of the Yahshua. Okay. Let's read that verse 17 again. Which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of the Yahweh, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Chapter 12. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in the high places. Verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of the Yahweh, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of the righteousness. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of the peace. Number 16, above all, taking the shield of the faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, and take the helmet of the salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is of the word of the Yahweh. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and a supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel or faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua as the new and living way of the New Testament and the New Covenant, Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. And verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in the bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Hebrews 10, 20, 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of the Yahshua, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of the Yahweh, let us draw near with a true heart and the full assurance of the faith and the blood of the new and living way of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10, 19, and 20, having our hearts sprinkled, Hebrews 12:18-24, from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with the pure water. Notice the veil represents his flesh. At the instance of the death of the Yahshua, the veil of the temple rent in twain, and the animal which the priest was about to sacrifice escaped. For the new and living way means no more death of an animal when a sin is committed. For the sprinkling of the blood of the Yahshua in the heavenly sanctuary, Hebrews 12:18-24, now transfers our sins from us on a daily basis onto the horns of the altar in the heavenly sanctuary. Sins are first confessed, and then the sprinkling of the blood is performed for the covering of them. Nowhere in the Scriptures does it say that the blood is shed first and sprinkled, and then a confession is made. That is a wrong teaching and is not backed by the law of the Moses or law of the Yahshua. Just as the sins were confessed and the blood sprinkled on the horns of the altar, so it is also done in the heavenly sanctuary, for the Moses was instructed to make the earthly sanctuary according unto the pattern shown him in the mount. For the saying that Yahshua died for my sin is totally wrong and out of the context with the Scriptures. You cannot find this idea anywhere in the Scriptures, for the dried bird does not blot out our sins, only of the repentant ones, but the moist live blood of the sprinkling dove. Or only the moist live blood of the sprinkling dove. See page 15. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul, for it is the life and the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Since the beginning of the announcement of the judgment for the living, in the year of 2002 at Gilead Center, Trumpet, Texas, with Brother Johnson at the helm, as the angel of the seventh candlestick of later said, the Adventist Church, and the third feeding pastor for the Adventist Church, working with the fourth group of the laborers there in Matthew 20, verse 9, that was called at the ninth hour in 1844, that was in 2002, on the Day of the Atonement, at the time the sins are removed from the heavenly sanctuary, and that the sanctuary is cleansed as it was done in the type, we have the living Lamb of the Yeshua in the heavenly sanctuary in the first apartment to sprinkle his fresh blood from his hand for us when we come to prayer with a contrite heart, seeking forgiveness for the sins committed. For Yahshua does not have to die every time he sprinkles his blood. We are a most privileged people to understand how to follow the plan of the salvation through the new and living way. I'm going to read that again. For we are the most privileged people to understand how to follow the plan of salvation through the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua as the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, with the blood of the everlasting covenant for our salvation. Daniel 10:10-11. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate sit up, there shall be 1,290 days. So that would have to date from 508 A.D. to 1844. For this study teaches us that the importance of our practice of the daily morning and evening worship times and how it cometh, or how it connects to the Day of the Atonement, for these two have a very definite correlation. And with this system of the worship, we become purified of our sins in the most holy on the Day of the Atonement in the heavenly sanctuary. First, I will give the type and how it pointed forward unto the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, and the importance of our practicing it in the antitype of in the time of the judgment of the living, that would be in the 12th periodic hour that we're in now, even since 2002. Even our Savior Yahshua marked these times himself, and became the, and because he sinned, but for the forgiving of the sins of the people who believed in him, he died for the sins of the many. That would be Hebrews 9:26-28. Not all. He set the example for all to follow. Hebrews 9:28. So the Yahshua was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without the sin unto salvation. This brings us into verse 36 hour contact, just at the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.